Good morning. This is Lance Kenmore with the Kenmore team, and I'd like to welcome you to this week's edition of the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. As always, you can contact me, Lance Kenmore, anytime direct on my cell phone at 509-727-8977 or visit us on the web at kenmoreteam.com. Once again, I always like to thank John for hosting and everybody here at the station for working to make this happen. Mr. John McKay, how you doing this week?
Good, and I'm glad we're done with triple digits. Bye-bye.
Yeah, a few of those mornings, I almost went back in the house and grabbed a sweatshirt. I mean, early. Like, I'm an early guy, like 5:30. But, yeah, Thursday morning, Wednesday, yeah, this is much more pleasant.
Yes.
And are we actually going to get, because this week, I mean, we're going to talk about it, but on the show. This is fair and rodeo week.
Yes, it is.
Are we going to get good temperatures for the fair?
We're supposed to.
Okay, finally.
In the 80s.
Now that is going to be an absolute blast and feel great. Well, since it's fair and rodeo week, John, I've themed the show after that, of course.
Okay.
And so even my celebrity house story, I tried to find the most rodeo and fair going loving house that was on the market that I could find.
Okay.
I found a listing by a company, Tamra Williams Real Estate out of Bozeman. And this place is called Gray Cliffs Ranch.
Okay.
And if you ever wanted to be John Dutton from Yellowstone, I feel like, I mean, this ranch, it is 6,000 acres.
Ooh, that's pretty big.
For all our farmers out there, it's got four or five pivots on it. Mm-hmm. So it's got some beautiful irrigated acreage. And it has an absolute gorgeous 7,000 square foot. I mean, to me, it's a mansion. Lodge. And then an indoor riding arena for all of our rodeo guys that want to practice stables, indoor riding arena.
It's pretty big.
It's big. McKay, you probably wouldn't keep it as a riding arena.
No, I'd turn it into an indoor batting and training facility for Harley and her teammates.
You can do that. And they've got lakes out there that they have stocked with fish.
Ooh.
You can actually go and stay at this place. Like, they will rent it out for recreation.
Wow.
It is, now, I will say, it is $39 million.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But I mean, it is phenomenal. I mean, I could see this is where you go, and then you just end up staying there forever. So, I mean, it is. Off the grid, but not too far off the grid. It's like 30 minutes outside of Bozeman, which the prices there are. I was just ripping around the website as I was doing research for this. Absolutely gorgeous. So if you've ever wanted a 6,000 acre recreation ranch to yourself with four or five pivots on it so you can still pretend you're farming, this is the place for you, just outside of Three Forks, Montana. So that is my crazy celebrity real estate story of the week. Now, from national on the real estate side of things, I will tell you rates have continued to be bouncing around. But once again, we had another couple days this week where rates were back down below 5.99 on a 30-year fixed. We have had a lot of buyers go ahead and pull the trigger and purchase why they can lock in at some of these lower rates. But the local real estate story and kind of what I wanted to talk about a little bit and get to today, because I get all kinds of inquiries around this time of year. And I don't know if it's necessarily because of the fair and rodeo, but people are start to think a little bit more about rural and agriculture and land. And what does that look like? And I will tell you, I think the Grand Parade kicks everything off in 30 or 45 minutes downtown Kennewick. This is the 76th year of the Ben Franklin Fair and Rodeo, or Horse Heaven Roundup, as we call it now. I know it as the Fair and Rodeo. $18 million goes into our local economy from this event. If you look at statewide fairs and rodeos in Washington State, $400 million annually put into the economy from these events. So I love it because I feel like it's an extension of Tri-Cities. I feel like, you know, it is some of the best of our youth on display with 4-H projects. And finally, a lot of their work in raising animals comes to fruition. This mm-hmm. is the week when that happens. It kind of goes along with the bounty of our ag industry and how much we're supported by the ag economy, whether it's grapes, sweet corn, potato. I mean, we have it all. Apples, tree fruit, everything. So it really is just a great celebration of what goes on in Tri-Cities. And, mm-hmm. and I love this week. But what happens this week is I've already been on two appointments earlier in the week for this, is people start to ask me about land. And where they could have a place that they could do projects like this. And John, there is a classic quote in real estate about land. It's often attributed to Mark Twain. Do you know the real estate quote that I'm going to say about land?
Oh, boy. It's on the top of my... Oh, I can't remember. I'm just going to give up. I don't remember.
Okay, I'll start it for you. Buy land because...
I'm still drawing a blank.
They're not making it anymore.
Oh, okay.
That is the fact. I'm a realtor. I know these things, right? Okay.
Yes.
But that quote is often attributed to Mark Twain. For those that you need a more modern reference to that, most recently, there's a chart-topping country song by Jordan Davis and Luke Bryan. And it's called Buy Dirt.
Yeah.
Okay. And so you see this theme throughout history mm-hmm. about buying land and yeah. how it appreciates and why people look to buy land. Mm-hmm. And so a little Washington facts. Who do you think is the largest landowner in the state of Washington?
Public or private?
I'm just going to let you say the largest because you're on to something with
DNR.
That, with that. Yeah.
Department of Natural Resources.
The federal, you nailed it, McKay. You are on it today. The federal government owns 29% of all of Washington lands. And think national parks, forests, think our grasslands, think our military. Fun fact, the largest by acre military zone controlled in Washington?
Yakima.
Yakima.
Where they go out and blow stuff up.
I did not send you. You're doing great today, man.
It's the firing range and the training center.
You nailed it. Yeah, that is the largest portion. So all of that, 29%. Now, here's where things get interesting. Then we go into private. Who are the three largest private landowners in Washington?
Well, the first one that comes to mind is Bill Gates.
Okay. Yeah. And so, interestingly enough, I would have had that on my list, but it wasn't. And he has bought a large amount. In fact, even here in the Columbia Basin, I think it was 2018, kind of kicked off. He came in and did a $171 million deal here in the Columbia Basin for, I think it was 15 or 16,000 acres of farm ground. We're going to talk a little bit about why that would happen, but that is a very famous Washington family that owns a lot of land. If you look at the largest, though, and there was a great blog post done by a radio station early in the year, KWG on the west side. Mm-hmm. The third largest family privately owned is the Emerson family, and they founded Sierra Pacific Industries,
okay,
which is one of the largest lumber manufacturers in the U.S.
I was going to say, I thought Weyerhaeuser would be
you
in there somewhere.
You just skipped number two. You stole my thunder, and that's number one.
Okay.
You got it. Weyerhaeuser bought 124 years ago.
Yeah.
Weyerhaeuser bought 900,000 acres
Ooh.
In Washington, purchased from James Hill and the Great Northern Railroad. They needed cash. Weyerhaeuser had cash. They bought 900,000 acres for $5.4 million.
Wow.
I mean, you could think about what that timber is worth now and stuff. If you go back alone, the closest I could find was financial data from like 2022. Mm-hmm. 2022 alone, that company brought in $10.8 billion with a B. Wow. And then who we skipped over was the second largest land owner family, the Reed family out of Shelton, Washington. 770,000 acres, which represents almost 2% of the land in Washington state.
Wow.
So those were the top three. And so you look at, you know, even if we bring that down, I give these big examples to talk about why land was valuable, why these fortunes have been made in land. And if we even take that back to a much smaller level around here in the Columbia Basin, what makes land valuable in these scenarios? Well, number one, they can raise a commodity to help pay the way. A lot of folks have found land that gives some other type of crop or commodity from it that can help over time pay for that land. The second thing that I put down is generally what comes with land, and we're going to talk about this, is clean water sources become a big issue. A lot of these land purchases have a lot to do with water. And then the third, we've heard a lot about this in the news recently, is buying and holding land and real estate is a hedge for you against inflation.
Yeah.
So for instance, if you just hold dollars, then and the dollar becomes weaker because you can't purchase as much with it. Everything else is becoming inflated. If you hold that in land, in general, that's appreciating at that same pace, sometimes a greater pace. And so your asset is increasing in value versus decreasing in value if you're just holding the dollars. And then our area specifically, and John, you hit on this, and I was going to talk about this today, is in the last 6 years, 6 to 8 years, we've had massive international attention here in the Columbia Basin because we have had big swaths of land purchased by Bill Gates and companies controlled by him. We've had hedge funds come into the area on an international level and purchase land in our area. We've had on the national level competing hedge funds pick up big swaths of this land. And so why is that the case? Well, number one, it's for those reasons we just talked about. They're able to get cash flow from crops that are on there. There's an abundance of water in this area, along with the temperatures needed to grow those crops. And then what you have happening and starting to happen, if you look at this, is you're having the center portion, equators and up, you're having temperatures increase faster in those areas. As that's happened, people have gone further north to look where these crops can be grown. And so a lot of focus has come in into our area on that. But when I'm looking for somebody even around the Columbia Basin and they say, Lance, I just want 5 or 10 acres. I want to be able to support this fair and rodeo life and have projects and teach my kids about what that's about. What are some of the things that you're looking at most important when you're looking at land at that level? I will tell you, if you want to be highly entertained on TikTok, search land access issues with neighbors.
Ooh.
And so my number one thing that I put down for land when you're looking at land is you need to have access,
yes,
clear access to that land. And why I say this is so entertaining when you get on TikTok and look at this stuff, the problem is that when people move out and buy land and they buy 5 acres or 10 acres or 15 acres, they usually don't like other people. Like they are trying to get out there and have some of their own space. Well, then when, you know, Joe Blow comes around and buys the adjoining 10 acres or the 10 acres behind them, and they look at their title report and they don't realize that they had an easement that crossed their land, that's where some of these issues start to come up. And so you have to know when you're purchasing this land, how do I get to it? What's the easement look like? is the easement crossing someone else's land that might be hostile to me?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the situation. Access is number one for me. What does that access look like? How are you getting it? Has it been perfected? And then how much hostility are you going to come across? And this doesn't just go for... this doesn't just go for large pieces of land out in the rural areas. However, we pay more attention to it there. This could go for land in town. I recently had a commercial construction project start that I knew about that was going on. And there was a land piece that had an easement to access it. And it just happened to go through another parking lot of an established commercial business. And so what do you think happened when all of the construction equipment started to roll in and then trackhoes are going by in semis? Commercial landowner number one is like, what? They threw a fit and they're like, what is this contractor doing?
Mm-hmm.
And what is all your stuff coming through? And they didn't know or realize that there was an access easement right across their parking lot. That is how the legal access was to this other parcel. So when you're looking at land, number one is if something is really cheap, like below market from everything you've been looking at, I always say double check easements. See if it's landlocked. Do you have to build a bridge across a canal to get to the land? For instance, I've seen that happen a number of times in different projects around Tri-City. So just be aware of what that access is and how that will affect your use of the property. Number one that we're looking at in land. When we come back from the break, we're going to tackle a little bit about that water issue that you talked about, John, because that's going to be number two. And there's some very specific things. People think they're buying land with water, and they're not.
Mm. Right here on News Talk 870.
Our house in the middle of our street. Our house in the middle of our... our house in the middle of our street. Our house in the middle of our...
Welcome back to the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. Today we've been talking our fair and rodeo special. Mm-hmm. We've been talking a little bit about land acquisition in rural areas and also what to look out for in that situation. So we started off with our crazy celebrity house, but I've got some Columbia Basin pick threes, fair and rodeos this week that are just fantastic properties. Pick number one, 10102 South 1626 PRSW out in Prosser.
Okay.
This is a three-bedroom, two-bath on 4.7 acres with amazing views, fenced and cross-fenced for all your fair projects. Has a three-bedroom, two-bath manufactured home on it. One home is permitted as a temporary dwelling. And there's a second home on the property that would be perfect for a caretaker situation. The property has two wells, two septic systems, and underground sprinklers, both in the pasture and the main house yard. And you're going to get all of that, two properties, fair and rodeo special, $519,990. Absolutely gorgeous property. Pick number two, also out in the Prosser area, 7501 South Wilgus. This is a three-bedroom, two-bath, 1,232 square feet. The home has split-bedroom layout, easy to care for LVP, updated throughout all of the main areas, awesomely redone kitchen with butcher block counters, and then get this, a 60 by 30 shop, complete with a half bath, storage loft, and workshop. Mm-hmm. For those of you that were doing the math and that are looking for this sort of thing, yes, the shop was bigger than the house, which is exactly how the shop guys want it to be. Fenced and cross-fenced as well. Beautiful pastures. Could be set up for a hobby farm. And that one coming in at $515,000. And then, John, I wanted to try to get you as close to the Benton County Fairgrounds as I possibly could.
Okay.
So I've got 225507 East 397 in Kennewick. This is a 0.69 acre lot, just over a half acre, quiet rural lot. Absolutely blank slate, ready for your ideas. Listen to this. Bring your own builder or set up a manufactured home here. Power's already on the property. Well's been drilled. Existing septic in place. And that lot is coming in at $175,000. So on your way out to the fair this week, swing by, check it out. Great, great opportunities for some land out there. So before the break, I kind of hinted at, and John kind of started us off with talking about Gates buying in the area. You've heard that Bill Gates and some of his companies have bought a lot of land in the area. Mm-hmm. And I really think the long-term play on that that you're looking at and seeing happen is water. And yeah. So people come to us a lot and they say, Lance, you know, I've seen some parcels that I want to look at. They're 5-acre parcels. I've seen some 10-acre parcels. And I want to have animals and I want to have pastures. And I pull up the parcel that they're looking at. And the first thing that I say to them is, hold on a second here. Mm-hmm. We have to talk water rights. And a lot of these parcels you see that seem like they're priced less than you would expect only have what's called a domestic well on them.
Okay.
And in Washington State, straight off the Department of Ecology's website, you have to know, it says you can water up to a half acre of land from a domestic well.
Okay.
Without a water right if you use less than 5,000 gallons a day. So you have to be careful with it. This includes watering a non-commercial lawn or garden. But if you want to irrigate more than a half acre or use more than that allotment, you have to apply for a water right.
Oh.
Let me tell you what your chances of getting that are.
Slim and none.
Thank you. Yes, John, that is exactly right. So you would have to go through the Department of Ecology to perfect that. I could do 20 radio shows on that, and I would have to have a water rights specialist on here to talk about it. But in a domestic well situation like that, that's why you see people have, you know, just a small lawn around their house and then a lot of dry land around, you know, fenced around the rest of the property. So you can utilize that. You could put gravel out there. You could put a shop out there. I'm not saying for all situations it's not right, but you just have to know what it's not going to be right for is having a huge pasture out there.
Yeah.
And a lot of people will come to me and they'll say, but Lance, I see the neighbors and they do have a pasture like that. How's that even possible? Well, there's a lot of things that might not fulfill how the law works, but mm-hmm. are going on. And so, but for me to sell you something like that in an environment that I know where water rights are becoming more of an issue, not less of an issue, you need to know the information about the water. Now, there are parcels out there that are in a water district. There's plenty of districts around Tri-Cities, KID, BMID, FCID. So we've got a lot of parcels that are served by water districts, and that's what's known as a service contract. So you might have a piece of land that is within a water district that has a contract where they will deliver a certain amount of acre feet of water for that land.
Okay.
That is part of the due diligence that you have to be considering. I could have a 5-acre parcel that's in a water district and it might be worth $300,000 or $400,000. I could have a 5-acre parcel down the street that is outside of the water district that you have to drill a well on, and now you can only irrigate a half acre. Instead of being worth $300,000 or $400,000, that parcel might only be worth $200,000. And so you need to make sure when you're purchasing, what is your end use? How much water do you need? What are the limitations on that water? And if it's there's even any sort of irrigation water available, because it can double or triple the cost of the land when you're when you're trying to find that. The next thing, the third thing that I write down for people that I think they sometimes take for granted or don't consider on the front end is, could too much land be a bad thing? Well, I mean, I'm an aggressive person. So for me, probably not if I get a couple extra acres. But the size of the parcel might not be right for everybody, because how do I have to maintain that? Is this just land I don't have to maintain, or I don't have to farm, or I don't have to keep the weed shredded down? What are those maintenance costs look like, and how much work are you willing to put into it to maintain that size of the parcel? Because there might be, sometimes people don't think about, there might be fire danger, right? Like, it might be dry, but if you have a structure on there, you might need to keep your perimeter, the ground tilled up. You might need to keep the weeds shredded down if they get too tall. So you have to look at, what does that look like? The other thing that I say with the size of parcel that comes up, I've helped a number of clients who say, who come to me and say, Lance, I just want a place to go out and shoot. I just want to go out a place, have a place to do target practice. Mm-hmm. What does that look like? Where can you sell me a parcel that's big enough for that? There's plenty of places where we can make that happen, but you have to realize too, in those situations, what is around you? Like, do you have enough space where that doesn't become an annoyance to the neighbors around you? Or have you bought a parcel like that where you're not expecting that to happen, and now somebody moves in beside you and starts doing that, and you weren't really expecting that? So what's around me? How often is it getting used? Because when we start to get to those rural areas, a lot of people are used to being in town and having what are called CC&Rs, and that's covenants, conditions, and restrictions.
Mm-hmm.
Most people don't like CC&Rs, but for a large number of people, it keeps things, we'll say, relatively calm.
Mm-hmm.
When you move out to a rural situation like that, you won't have CC&Rs governing that. So people always ask me, well, Lance, what's the worst thing that could happen? I can't even imagine what that is, because I've seen so much bad stuff in real estate. And so I just look at the bordering acres and I say, well, what if somebody, you know, I try to think of something like, what if somebody moves, you know, 400 hogs in beside you and starts running a hog operation? Is that going to
yeah.
make you mad? Like, what possibly, you know, I
could
mean,
go wrong.
What could go wrong without those CC&Rs? So I just always try to prepare people to be thinking future for what's going on there. And there's, you don't have to email me. There's county regulations. 400 hogs might be a lot, but there's a lot of things that can happen within those regulations you might not want to happen. So we always tell people, have a feasibility study, but those are my big four that we're looking at when we're evaluating land like that. The biggest thing for me is just having time to research that, look into that, and make sure what you're buying is going to meet the end needs of what you're trying to do. If you have any questions about what that looks like, we do a lot of transactions in this realm. We've been through it. We have examples of what you need to do. And we love working in some of those outlying rural areas. We've got some great agents that even specialize in some of that type of stuff. So go to kenmoreteam.com, shoot me a message. We would love to help. In the meantime, we will see you out at the fair and rodeo. It's going to be an absolute awesome week. It's one of our favorite weeks of the year. If you see us out there, stop us, grab us, say hi. We'd mm-hmm. love to talk to you guys. And just have a great time as we finish off summer here in yep. the Tri-Cities. And we'll be right back here next week.
Right here on News Talk 870.